I'm Michelle Franzen. In Georgia, the judge overseeing the 2020 election interference case dismissed several charges today involving former President Trump and his co-defendants.
The six dismissed counts relate to the pressure that was allegedly put on Georgia lawmakers to award the state's electoral votes to Donald Trump. Those counts accused the defendants of soliciting the violation of a public officer's oath. But Judge Scott McAfee writes that the indictment is too generic and lacks critical details on exactly how an officer's oath to the federal or state constitution would have been violated. In a win for prosecutors, Judge McAfee rejects attempts to toss out the remaining counts in the indictment.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. In California, a group of demonstrators blocking traffic today to the San Francisco airport and security checkpoints, demanding a ceasefire in Gaza. It comes as civilians are facing famine due to the Israel-Hamas war. And storms on the march across the Rockies. Denver could see up to a foot of snow in the city's biggest storm of the season. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden is back in Wisconsin today, talking about lowering costs for families and strengthening Social Security and Medicare in Milwaukee.
They're going to say, look, this is what we're trying to do. This is what we want Congress to actually move forward on. And they won't, but he can say, this is what we're trying to get done and deliver for you.
Reporter Karen Travers on the road with the president. Wisconsin state education officials are thinking of letting local school districts choose when they start the school year. Under the current rules, schools can't start earlier than September 1st in Wisconsin, but more and more local schools each year are asking the Department of Public Instruction to start earlier. There's an online public hearing on the proposed rule change on the 25th. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Jester Bowl has received a significant donation that will help the organization expand and renovate the Tom Storm Chalet. According to a Northern News Now report, Jester Bowl officials announced an anonymous donation of $50,000, matching their donation to the chalet renovation project. In total, public sources have donated around $740,000 to the renovation project. The total cost is expected to be around $2.7 million, with officials looking for outside funding for the rest. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is warning of an elevated fire danger this week due to the warm temperatures, lack of rain, and low humidity. According to a press release, officials across the state responded to over 90 wildfires in the last week. Most of northwest Wisconsin is currently listed at a very high fire danger, with most counties south of Rusk sitting at high fire danger. Bayfield, Burnett, Washburn, Sawyer, Rusk, and parts of Barron County all have burn restrictions in place through the DNR as well. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
For the longest time, it was hard for me to even get out of the house, much less do a backside 180. It took me a bit to understand what was going on, but eventually I learned I had anxiety. Now I'm getting help for it and feeling so much better. Sure, some days are better than others, but the whole thing about getting out of the house, that's not really an issue anymore.
Mental health care is working. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Another loss on the road for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks stunned in Sacramento, losing 129-94 to the Kings. The win snapped a 15-game losing streak for the Kings against the Bucks. Milwaukee finished their West Coast trip 1-3. Bucks head coach Doc Rivers.
We just didn't have a very smart game. I'm not going to overplay it. It's one game, but we had two of them on this trip and blew one. This trip could have easily been 2-2, but it's not. It is what it is, and we have to deal with that.
Giannis, after the loss.
You know that there's going to be a track meet. You know they're going to play fast. You know they're going to shoot the ball with 17 seconds on the clock. If you're not locked in, not able to manage the same energy that as them, you're going to have problems.
Baseball, the Brewers' William Contreras with a 3-run homer. Colin Ray pitched 4 scoreless innings. But the Brewers lost to the Cubs 6-5. NFL, the Packers re-signed 2 more of their players, defensive back Corey Ballantyne and tight end Tyler Davis. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
More more clouds than sun today as high temperatures still stay unseasonably mild and soar to the upper 50s. Winds stay calm today and we become mostly cloudy and stay that way tomorrow too, all ahead of a shot of snow over the weekend. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 55 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
How to avoid this apocalyptic nightmare? It's to vote. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that will save our democracy is our democracy. America, make your voice heard. Turn away from authoritarianism and vote this November.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. Pardon me. It's 6 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock, our final hour here, hour number two. Always great to have Trigvi Olson and Pat Kreitlow along on a Wednesday. Mr. Zommers, how are you?
Pump day!
Doing well, apparently.
Yeah, doing pretty well. And like you said, always great to have Pat and Trigvi. I thought they both had some very excellent points today, and I thought there were a lot of powerful moments.
Yeah,
with Trigvi talking about his personal experiences and how people like Robert Herr using the tragic loss of a child for political gain is just vile.
Yeah, it's sad when people use that sort of tragedy of person's life, like losing a child, and try to use it for political gain. I don't care what party you belong to. It's just, you lose all my respect in that regard. So later on this hour, we were going to do this yesterday. We ran out of time. Mr. Zommers is going to help me remember, but we have this cut from Jon Stewart from The Daily Show from Monday, and it's pretty darn good. So we've got that queued up. We'll bring that to you in a little while, your phone calls as well. Don't often do it, and that is go back to a topic we already kind of talked about, but there were a lot of things I wanted to get through with Trigvi today, and so we kind of try to get through as many of those as we possibly could. But I want to go back to this hearing yesterday, in part because it's getting so little coverage, or at least the truth is getting so little coverage. And I'm talking about this congressional hearing yesterday in the House of Representatives where former prosecutor Robert Herr was on the stand. And this is a really important point here that's not getting a lot of coverage with mainstream media, that Jim Jordan, the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, a Republican, helped coordinate with Robert Herr to resign, to leave the U.S. Department of Justice on Monday, the day before, 24 hours before he testified before Jordan's committee. Why is that important? Because in doing so, it allowed Robert Herr to testify as a private citizen, which means he could say anything he wanted to, versus had he still been an employee of Department of Justice, whereby DOJ would have had to okay or at least see what he planned to say in his testimony. And we're going to play you a couple more clips. Mr. Zommers, do you have both the Schiff and the Lou clip there? We have the Schiff one, I know.
I have Schiff.
All right, well, we'll go with that one in a second. But before we do, I want to read you some verbatim excerpts from, we've used her work before, Heather Cox Richardson, who is a great reporter, a great writer. And here's a few things that she had to say, and then we're going to play more of this hearing yesterday. From Heather Cox Richardson, she says, quote, hours before the Robert Herr hearing was about to begin, The Department of Justice released a transcript of Biden's interviews held in the 2 days after Hamas attacked Israel as he rushed to respond to that crisis. Let me step away from the article from her words for a second. I think that's a really important point, again, that doesn't get a lot of credit. That Biden was sitting down for these in-depth questions about his past in the middle of dealing with an international crisis like the Hamas attack on Israel. Back to the story from Heather Cox Richardson. The transcripts belied her's portrayal of Biden's answers, among other things. He clearly knew the exact date his son Beau died. Representative Eric Swalwell, Democrat of California, suggested her was angling for an appointment in a second Trump administration and asked him to demonstrate his credibility by pledging that he would not accept such an appointment. Her declined to do so. The hearing was covered live on various television channels, and the Democrats used that media time to show videos of Trump slurring his words, forgetting names, speaking in word salad, getting their own sound bites to voters. They got her to spell out the clear contrast between Trump's theft of documents and Biden's cooperation with government. Conservative lawyer George Conway wrote on social media, quote, "I think Biden's State of the Union address last week and her's emoliation today will go down in political history as Reagan's 'I am not going to exploit my opponent's youth and inexperience' moment, only on steroids," unquote. Conway was referring to Reagan's response in the 1984 presidential debate to a question about his own age. Reagan's opponent, Walter Mondale, later said he knew Reagan's answer was the moment he had lost not only the debate, but probably the election. The article and words of Heather Cox Richardson. I think those are just some great observations there. And I want to play you one of these clips now. This is Congressman Eric Swalwell from California questioning, this is Adam Schiff, also from California, is going to be the Democratic nominee for Senate now out there in California. This is Adam Schiff going back and forth with Robert Hurt.
Congressman, I do not have the Trump indictment in front of me, but I need to address something that you said in your prior question. What you are suggesting is that I needed to provide a different version of my report that would be fit for public release. That is nowhere in the rules. I was to prepare a confidential report that was comprehensive and thorough of an
explanation. What is in the rules, Mr. Herr, what is in the rules is you don't gratuitously do things to prejudice the subject of an investigation when you're declining to prosecute. You don't gratuitously add language that you know will be useful in a political campaign. You were not born yesterday. You understood exactly what you were doing. It was a choice. You certainly didn't have to include that language. You could have said, vis-a-vis the documents that were found at the university, the president did not recall. There is nothing more common. You know this. I know this. There is nothing more common with a witness of any age when asked about events that are years old to say, I do not recall. Indeed, they're instructed by their attorney to do that if they have any question about it. You understood that. You made a choice. That was a political choice. It was the wrong choice. Mr. Chairman, I yield back. Gentlemen,
I thought that was extraordinarily strong. I mean, that's what you have to do in situations like this. Point this out. Item by item, and I thought Eric Schiff did a great job on that. Congressman Schiff did a great job on that. And this is what we have time and time again, and we have to have vehicles, and this is why I'm thankful to work for a network like Civic Media that gives us the opportunity to get this out. Because as we said in the first hour, the disinformation, the outright lies by Robert Hur, when this information first came out, when he said he wasn't going to indict President Biden and then made up these lies about his memory. That's what everybody's clinging to. But I think Heather Cox Richardson in her piece is absolutely right. When you look at the State of the Union by Joe Biden last week, he's in Wisconsin today, of course, in Milwaukee, going to stay here overnight, be here overnight in Wisconsin. He's on the campaign trail, getting things done. And then you look at this testimony, it's It's astounding, quite frankly. What are your thoughts on this? Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Make it easy for you. 855-75-CIVIC. 855-75-CIVIC. Let's go to the phone lines. Dick in Madison listening in on WMDX. Dick, thanks for listening and calling in. What say you?
Todd, I remember 2 weeks ago bringing this thing up to you, and I was all wound up and thought it was how horrible it was. In retrospect, this was the ultimate case of be careful what you wish for. Right. These people got made to be the gal, I forget who it was, and made him read his own words and choke on him, did an awesome job, too. He goes, well, no, you can read it. And she goes, no, I prefer you did. And then he had to read, you know, line for line exactly what he said.
Yeah.
And she shoved it right down his throat.
No, you're absolutely right. I thought the Democrats had a good game plan going in yesterday. If you watch the cuts on that, I mean, they really nailed her to the wall in terms of putting his own words back at him at a mirror. And wasn't it remarkable, Dick, how you could just see in her's reaction that he would only say, only acknowledge, well, that's what's in the transcript. That's what's in the transcript.
I got a fair amount of it. I got to see this morning on MSNBC and Morning Joe, and it was just astounding. They were made to be just a laughing stock fools that they are.
Yeah.
They came totally unprepared for what happened, I think.
No, I think you're right. And I think you're absolutely right about be careful what you wish for, because I don't think that her's testimony in front of Jordan did the Republicans any favors.
Oh, that was the best watching him. Right. He's just you know where I go with him.
We appreciate your self-edit. Thank you very much. But I get it. Thanks, Dick. Great call as always. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Or make it easy, 855-75-CIVIC. What do you think of this testimony by Mr. Herr yesterday on the stand? And again, the Democrats really doing a good job of having the facts there and using the transcript that of Herr's interview. We read some of this yesterday, if you were with us yesterday, where Joe Biden was telling stories and Herr was all about it. And there was no memory problem. There was no stain. I mean, if anybody got duped in this whole thing, if you look at the transcript, it was Herr. And words speak for themselves. And for me, it was a joy to see the truth come to light. And that's why we're talking about it again this hour. And we're going to continue to talk about it as things move forward. I think it's important to remind people that if you look at the evidence, there's no memory problems here with Joe Biden. And to Trygve Olson's point last hour, a guy who's worked on presidential campaigns, he pointed out, in case you weren't here last hour, that normally what a guy like Chris LaCivita, who is running Trump's campaign and now basically a de facto running the RNC, they attack the opponent's strengths, all right? Which means their own candidate's weakness. And there are questions about Trump's own mental state. And so what they're doing is attacking Biden's to gaslight people to say, well, they're both, you know, not all there. But the evidence yesterday in that testimony, the evidence of the transcript belies that. Come back and talk a little bit about Ken Buck, a Republican who is leaving early in Colorado. Could it help Hakeem Jeffries be the Speaker of the House? Come back and talk about it after this on the Todd Lyle Show and the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness.
for a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.heat.help.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 20 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Always glad to have you along here on a Wednesday, March 13th, 2024. Mr. Zommer is on the board taking your phone calls as well. 855-752-4842. Want to move on to another important story yesterday that I don't think is getting enough attention. And that is Congressman Ken Buck. Appropriately named as he's bucking the Republican Party. Ken Buck, who represents Colorado, parts of Colorado, in the Republican Party, announced a couple of weeks ago that he was not going to run for re-election. That seat was going to be open. And so Lauren Boebert, yes, that goofy Lauren Boebert, she, in redistricting, she is now in Buck's district. And so, you know, by the way, she's polling like at number five of all the people running there. So Ken Buck announced yesterday, not only is he not going to run for election, he's going to resign from Congress, I believe, effective tomorrow on Friday. Going to resign on Friday, leaving an open seat.
It is next Friday.
Next Friday. Thank you for fact checking me. Thank you very much. Next Friday. So that will be an open seat as of next Friday. We're going to talk about the political ramifications, but first I want to hear from Ken Buck in his own words. We got two different cuts here. The first one was on CNN yesterday on why he is leaving. Here is Congressman Ken Buck, Republican from Colorado.
My colleague Melanie Zanona is reporting that there is such tension among House Republicans that many of them aren't even going to a retreat that's going to happen at the end of this week. Is that tension part of why you're leaving so abruptly?
I think this place is dysfunctional. For example, I am the number third ranking member of the Judiciary Committee. I haven't even asked my questions yet. 40, 50 people have gone before me.
But that could be personal.
It could be personal, but a lot of this is personal, and that's the problem. Instead of having decorum, instead of operating in a professional manner, this place has just evolved into this bickering and nonsense and not really doing the job for the American people.
That is not a Democrat saying that. That is not a progressive. That is not a Democratic operative. That is a conservative member of the Republican Party, a sitting United States congressman, saying it's become dysfunctional. The House of Representatives under Mike Johnson and Republican leadership has become dysfunctional to the point where a respected incumbent, at least within the Republican Party, is saying, adios, I don't need this. And saying, I can't even wait until the end of my term. I'm out of here now. There was some flutter yesterday in the Capitol, a little fluff up, a little dust up, because some people were reporting that Ken Buck had not informed the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, that he was resigning before he made the announcement. Ken Buck maintains that he did call the Speaker, got on his cell phone, got his voicemail, and left a message on the Speaker's cell phone voicemail about 30 minutes before he made the announcement. You know, a little tight, but technically he can say he did call the Speaker before he did it. And you could kind of, we're going to play another cut here for you. This pretty much says it all about the relationship between Congressman Ken Buck, a Republican from Colorado, and Speaker Mike Johnson.
This place just keeps going downhill, and I don't need to spend my time here. We've taken impeachment and we've made it a social media issue as opposed to a constitutional concept. Mike Johnson's ability to talk me into staying here is going to be about as successful as his ability into talking me into unconstitutional impeachments.
Oh, my God.
pretty good.
That's brutal.
Right? Mike Johnson's ability to talk me into staying is going to be about as successful as talking me into unconstitutional impeachments. A sitting Republican congressman, a member of the House conference on the Republican side, saying it flat out, telling it like it is, that this whole impeachment thing against Joe Biden is a sham and unconstitutional. That's coming from Republicans. So when you get guys like do-nothing Derek Van Orten from Wisconsin's western side in the 3rd District, we're just going to play this. I don't have to play any Democratic clips. I don't have to play what Democrats are saying. All we have to do is listen to Republicans who are calling it dysfunctional and that the impeachment hearings against Joe Biden and the House of Representatives are unconstitutional. That's coming from Ken Buck, a Republican from Colorado. Now, why would Ken Buck do this? Well, there's always the self-serving reason. Don't ever underestimate any politician for being self-serving. He may have some sort of a corporate job lined up. I don't know. But here's the interesting thing, because the Democratic governor of Colorado is going to set a special election for this summer. And so people are asking, well, then you can't hold a seat in Congress and then run for another one in a different district. So Lauren Boebert represents a different part of Colorado currently. She has to run in the new district that Buck just resigned from this fall, but she can't do both. She can't be a congressperson and run for a different seat. So people are saying, well, maybe Boebert's going to resign her current seat so that she can run for the special seat. A little bit of musical chairs. But as Adam Kinzinger, former Republican congressman of Illinois, pointed out, it would create it creates a vacancy in her district. And by the way, with Buck doing this, the count, for those of you counting at home, is now 218 Republicans, 213 for Democrats, which means the Republicans now only have a 2-seat majority.
You know what's going on here?
What?
It is total chaos.
Thank you, Nikki Haley. You're absolutely right, Mr. Saunders. It's down to 2 votes. All it takes is a guy like Mike Gallagher from Wisconsin, who's already resigned or already said he's not going to run for re-election, and one of 20 others who are doing the same thing. All it takes is 2 of them to get ticked off and vote for Hakeem Jeffries, the Democrats, and Hakeem Jeffries is the speaker. So here's what Congressman Ken Buck did that was so smart politically, is that by resigning now from the House of Representatives, it forces the Democratic governor of Colorado to call a special election. I believe it's the general will be in June, which means that the incumbent will have a leg up on running for the permanent seat for the 2-year term in November. Pretty smart, huh? It gives Democrats a chance to run somebody now in this special election. And if they win, they will be essentially the incumbent for the regular election come this fall. So a couple of very interesting things going on here by Ken Buck, setting somebody up other than Lauren Boebert to have the advantage going into November, but also just sticking it to Mike Johnson and burning bridges on the way out and telling it like it is. I love every part of this guy, Ken Buck, at least in the way he's leaving Congress. He is a pot stirrer, a person after my own heart. We'll come back to the other side, stir some pots, take some phone calls, and have a little fun. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allbowl Show for a Wednesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's healthcare workforce is shrinking. At the same time, the state's older population is growing.
People have to wait longer for a primary care appointment or a specialty appointment. Sometimes they end up needing to come to an urgent care department or an emergency department to get that access.
The Wisconsin Hospital Association's Ann Zank says the state needs 10% more nurses. Reports say former Packers star quarterback Aaron Rodgers might run for vice president. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is running for president as an independent. The New York Times reports Kennedy's shortlist for running mate includes Rodgers and former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The sale of multiple homes in Duluth's Park Point neighborhood to a billionaire has drawn the attention of residents and local officials. According to a Northern News Now report, Duluth Mayor Roger Reinhart sent a letter to Kathy Cargill asking what the plans for the land along Minnesota and Lake Avenues is. While Reinhart noted that Cargill is well within her right to buy the land, the letter noted that a lack of housing is a major problem facing the area and losing more residential housing options is not helpful to the city. The Superior National Forest is looking for some federal funding to minimize the impact of wildfires. The United States Department of Agriculture has made an additional $100 million available for states to expand their wildfire risk reduction program. Amid a warm, snowless winter that has experts worried about an early wildfire season, the Superior National Forest applied for $20 million of funding. A USDA survey of the forest found almost 200,000 acres are at a high risk for wildfires. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
As you age, you may have questions about finding transportation, healthy meals, or other services around your home and in your community. And the Elder Care Locator has the answers at 1-800-677-1116. Our caring advisors can connect you to trustworthy local experts and the support you need to age well at home. Real people, real assistance, and real connections are just a phone call away with the Elder Care Locator. 1-800-677-1116.
With the 60-second showbiz beat. I will never win an argument in my house again. Those are the words of Molly McNerney, who co-exec produced the Oscars broadcast Sunday night. She's also married to host Jimmy Kimmel. People magazine reports that McNerney advised her husband not to read a certain former president's catty tweet out loud at the Oscars because it was too risky. But comedians will be comedians. Kimmel read the tweet and responded with a joke that brought the house down. How does McNerney feel about that? She told People.com she will probably never win an argument in her house ever again. Well, not with that attitude. Speaking of the Kimmel family, Joy Behar apparently loved Jimmy Kimmel's response to Donald Trump's Oscar tweet, so much so that she had to tell him. The View host said she is friends with Kimmel, and when she heard his joke, she thought to herself, comedians rule. Behar says she wanted to let Jimmy know how she felt, so she decided to email him, but unfortunately emailed the wrong Jimmy, emailing Kimmel's late-night adversary, Jimmy Fallon, instead. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
More clouds than sun today as high temperatures still stay unseasonably mild and soar to the upper 50s. Winds stay calm today and we become mostly cloudy and stay that way tomorrow too. All ahead of a shot of snow over the weekend. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 55 degrees.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North. 910 AM WBZH. Your home for news, talk, and sports.
Good Lord. Welcome back to the Todd Hoffel Show. It is 34 minutes past now. What in the world did you dial up?
It's Bridge Burning by Foo Fighters. We were talking about Ken Buck burning bridges.
That just, what the heck?
It's appropriately intense for a song about burning bridges, I think.
It's very intense. It's very intense, Mr. Somers. But I am happy you play the Foo Fighters, because here's the thing, as David Letterman always likes to remind us, that you know the great thing about the Foo Fighters?
I do know the great thing about the Foo Fighters, but I'll let you say it.
They're always out there fighting Foo.
Indeed, they are.
That's exactly what they're doing. I just wasn't prepared, you understand, on a Wednesday afternoon at 1:35. Very intense. But, you know, a great band in the appropriate time slot. Yeah. Welcome back to the program. Mr. Somers on the board dialing up some Foo. Not a Foo Manchu, though. Have you ever, you have a lighter hair. Have you ever tried to grow Foo Manchu a mustache?
I have not. I've thought about it because it would be very funny. But I have not. The only different styles I've done, I've never done just like a mustache either. Yeah. That would also be funny. But I've done a goatee because my dad has a goatee. But after a while, it was just creepy because I looked too much like him. It's like, this is weird. I did it because it was funny and it was for a bit.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. That's perfectly okay. Welcome back to the program. I want to talk about a little election night news from last night, by the way. We didn't get to it earlier. But there was an election last night down in Georgia. Down in Georgia. And here's the interesting thing. That, yes, Donald Trump, as expected, won the state of Georgia last night over Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis, both of whom have dropped out of the race. But here's the interesting thing. As of about 2 hours ago, as final tallies are coming in, there is about 87,263 voters in the Georgia Republican primary that voted against the de facto incumbent, Donald Trump. 87,000 plus voters in Georgia said, no thanks. We're not voting for the Trumpster down here in Georgia. Now, both Trump and President Biden sewed up enough delegates last night to win their presumptive win their nominations. So it is now, I guess, not official until you have both the conventions this summer. But for all intent and purposes, it's official. It is going to be Trump versus Biden because last night in Georgia, both of them got enough delegates to win their party's nominations. But here's the thing. If you look at what Donald Trump lost by in Georgia last time around, Trump cannot win the state this November without those Haley supporters, those Nikki Haley supporters. And there's a large percentage that are saying they're never going to vote for Trump again. And a reminder that in 2020, Joe Biden won Georgia by about 12,000 votes. Donald Trump lost Georgia by about 12,000 votes. So now you have, as of this morning, you know, well over 87,000 people voting against Donald Trump. And he lost by 12. I mean, so just look at the math. And I'm not a guy who does math well, especially on the air. But if there, let's just say a portion of that 87,000, let's say there are a few people that crossed over to try to make trouble or whatever. But if you have 87,000 people voting in a Republican primary against you, if you're Donald Trump, and you lost that state by 12,000 last time, I would not want to be the people running the Trump campaign. I mean, for various reasons. But, I mean, look, I'm no Karl Rove. You know, I'm no Democratic strategist, but that ain't good. That ain't good when you've got that kind of voter deficit, that vote deficit out of Georgia. What has been, until last time around in 2020, a very reliable red state for the Republican nominee. What do you think? Does this to you ring any alarm bells if you're the Republican Party, or ring joy bells if you're a Democrat? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Make it easy, 855-75-CIVIC. Give us a call right here on the Civic Media Radio Network talking about the Georgia results from last night. I don't know, Mr. Somers. I I don't believe that all 87,000 people that voted against Trump last night in Georgia are suddenly going to wake up and vote for Biden in November. But all it takes is about 13,000 of those people of the 87, and Trump's already got problems down there.
That seems much more approachable.
Yeah, no, I mean, it absolutely does. So we shall see. And now that both sides have kind of locked up these nominations, Trump and Biden, how does kind of the campaign change? Again, Joe Biden is in Wisconsin today, or will be, staying at the beautiful Pfister Hotel tonight down at downtown Milwaukee, announcing a lot of infrastructure money for, I understand, the Milwaukee area, kind of linking people via sidewalks and other modes of transportation, and then staying overnight. So Milwaukee becomes the White House West tonight for President Biden. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to Jack in Merrimack. Jack, what say you? Hello,
something
Jack.
Something that does worry me is the constant barrage of propaganda that is going out over the media. I mean, I think you pointed out earlier that the lies that the so-called judge promulgated with his decision, which had nothing whatsoever, by the way, to do with his decision. Mm-hmm. They weren't covered significantly in most of the media, not even the mainstream media. The people in the media have to wake up to this fact. They're going to be you and the anything but the extremist right media are going to be in serious trouble if these Republicans ever take over the other two branches of government, because they already got the Supreme Court.
Right.
If they ever take over the other two branches of government again, the Supreme Court's going to go along with anything they want to do, constitutional or not. And one of the things that Trump has clearly said is the media is the enemy of the people, which means the media is Trump's enemy as long as they don't agree with him. That's just going to be the start. If the mainstream media doesn't start putting some of this out and making people aware, we've got right-leaning independents that, according to the polls, are going to be voting blindly Republican because Joe Biden's too old. And, well, the Republicans will do something about the border, even though they won't, because they locked it up in the House. I mean, you know, you got, and it's a constant barrage of that stuff. Unless the mainstream media wakes up, we're all going to be in trouble. And we have, you know, I realize it's still relatively early, and polls are not always real accurate, but it still looks like at least a toss-up, and the media could do something about this. And if they had any kind of either ethics, self-respect, or just plain interest in keeping their media going, they're going to have to do something about it.
Well, you bring up a great
rant for the day.
No, I really appreciate, Jack, before I let you go, I want to ask you this quick and get your take on this, because you bring up this very interesting point. I've touched on it a couple of times, but am I just imagining it, or are you sensing it or seeing it or listening or hearing it as well, that ever since Trump made this big deal about going after MSNBC and other mains, or even just NBC, I think he went after NBC, that it feels like to me, real or perceived, Jack, that some of these people are now slightly tweaking the way they cover this stuff, and this hearing seems to be one of them.
Yeah, this is you know, part of a problem. I have no idea why they're doing this to themselves, but you know, the problem is, of course, the media is not just doing it to themselves.
Right.
They're doing it to the rest of the country. And they keep on with this, you know, Biden's too old narrative, regardless of evidence to the contrary, and not saying anything about Trump.
Right.
I mean, not a significant amount about Trump and the craziness. You ever listen to any of his speeches? Fortunately, I have not had patience to listen to the whole thing. But that guy is just, he's, right. I mean, talk about dementia.
Right.
He sounds like my mother when she was suffering from dementia, and she was angry at everybody, and mm-hmm. she was threatening everybody. This is, you know, but that's not, okay. that doesn't get enough coverage and doesn't get enough emphasis. And the Democrats also have to do some of that.
Yeah. Appreciate the call, Jack. Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, that's why we're here. That's why, you know, we suss out the truth. We try to bring you accurate information every single day. And on the occasion when we might get something wrong, we correct ourselves quickly, apologize, and move on. But I think that we have to be fair as members of the media. You know, again, this is not a quote-unquote news program. I'm not part of the Civic Media News Division. It's a talk show. But I went to broadcasting school at UW-Platteville, journalism classes, you know, Associated Press writing, AP writing style, you call it. And I had ingrained in me a certain value of journalistic standards, which I bring to this show. And that's why I think it's important to bring these clips to you that happened that are not getting a lot of play on other media programs. And that's why it's a pleasure every day to come to work for Civic Media. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to John, listening in on WMDX in Madison. John, thanks for calling. What say you?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly was really disappointed to see that both Trump and Biden won the nominations. I kind of feel like the world would have been a better place if they had both had, like, basically crowned a successor or, like, mm-hmm. endorsed, like, this person. I mean, I'm a little bit older now. This person has the energy and to go forward. I feel like that would have been much better. I was really disappointed to see Biden get the nomination, even though that he's probably the one that I'm going to vote for. I honestly don't pay attention to much media myself.
That's curious that you say that, because I'm always interested in the response to this question. Where do you, the amount of media that you do consume or information news, where do you get it from most of the time? Either the source or the station or whatever?
Sure. To a degree, I get some of my news from social media. I treat it as an extremely biased source because everybody's going to have their own spin on things, whether you're talking about Twitter users or Facebook users, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. A fair bit of my media comes from like the BBC or NPR, which also have their own bias. Although I feel like NPR has the least amount of bias of the biases that are out there. I do listen to conservative media from a more critical lens, like a bit of Alex Jones or Fox to a degree.
Yeah. I'm not trying. I mean, God love everybody to listen to whoever you want, but I mean, boy, I mean, even if you're doing it just for the critical whatever, I mean, I don't think I could listen more than 30 seconds to Alex Jones. I mean, just the headache I would get.
Oh my gosh, that's good to hear. I was concerned that he was a lot more prevalent. honestly, I listened to a critique of Alex Jones from a program called Knowledge Fight.
Fun of InfoWars. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
yeah, it's a great show. Honestly, when you're trying to get an interesting look into Alex Jones. But, that more wing of conservative broadcasting.
Well, John, I appreciate the call, appreciate you listening, and appreciate your forthrightness because I really think it's healthy to, and we said this before on this show, I mean, listen to a variety of news sources, and I think that helps all of us get to that point where we discover the truth. So my hat's off to you. I think you're doing exactly the right thing and appreciate listening to us as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You know, I think about, are you still talking about Georgia at all? Or
We are. If you want to hang on, we'll come back in 60 seconds and pick it up there. Don't go anywhere. John and more calls on the other side. It's the Tallow Ball Show for a Wednesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early
so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It seems like the cost of everything is going up, so it's nice to save a little dough when you can, especially for something you love to eat every day. Before I go grocery shopping, I print out a coupon for $1 off any Country Hearth, Village Hearth, or Artisan Hearth bread product. My favorite is Dakota Style 12 grain. My wife's breakfast go-to is a toasted Village Hearth English muffin. We can save a buck on each. Go to countryhearthbreads.com/coupons and print one or two out before your next shopping trip. And don't forget, Country Hearth, Village Hearth, and Artisan Hearth bread products are baked locally and delivered fresh daily.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 10 before the hour of 2 o'clock. That's 10 minutes away from the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie takes over these airwaves after your news, weather, and sports at the top of the hour. The Maggie Dawn Show every afternoon from 2 until 4. Right now, finishing up with John in Madison. John, you wanted to get in quickly about the Georgia election last night. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Honestly, I was wondering what your thoughts are on kind of authoritarianism. I kind of feel like the Trump camp has been slowly moving in that direction, and I feel like that's part of what might have turned off a lot of Trump voters. I wanted to get sort of your thoughts on that. I mean, the Democrats will throw around a lot of words, but I do feel like there's a sort of a I know what's best for the country, listen to me kind of mentality from that Trump likes to propose. I was wondering your thoughts on that.
I appreciate the call, John. And boy, how much time do you have, right? We've talked about this a lot with Trigvy, of course. Yes, I think authoritarianism is terrible, number one, and it is infiltrated the former Republican Party, now in their own words, the MAGA Party. And yeah, I mean, we'll go into this probably more tomorrow. I didn't have time today, but let me just give you just a snapshot of something I want to get to. This is from somebody from Scotland who published this, I believe, last night. He said, let me tell you a story from 2016 about British politics that has a lot in common with current American politics. Says the UK was one of the early members of the European Union and voted to leave 51.9% to 48.1%. Now, this was a referendum with one vote per adult, so it seemed fair. But the very rich and the media controlled most of the narrative and convinced the average working person it was in their best interest to leave. This was mainly argued on one front, immigration. Being part of the EU meant free movement of labor across each member. So a French person could go work in London and a British person could work in Rome, retire to Spain. So in one sense, it was fair. The EU was also helped by workers with laws governing rights and maximum hours they could work, etc. But there was one factor. The very rich hated the EU. They were looking to close offshore tax havens so that the wealthy would have to pay their fair share. Sound familiar? Well, with more money than they knew what to do with, the billionaires will go extreme lengths to avoid sharing, and the media and political class will help them out. It, we'll go into more detail on this tomorrow. But basically, to your point about authoritarianism, that yes, authoritarianism helps out the wealthy, the rich. Look at Russia, the oligarchs. And absolutely, if you look what Trump is setting up, he has taken over the Republican Party. By the way, he's draining now that he and his family are in charge of the Republican Party, literally. They're draining the resources. So if you're the common, you know, voter out there who votes Republican and who donates to the Republican National Committee, know that almost every dollar that you're giving goes directly into Trump's pocket for his defense fund. It's dangerous. And it That's why we say this election, whether you're a disaffected Republican, an independent, a conservative Democrat, welcome all to the coalition to defend democracy and defeat authoritarianism. Donald Trump will be an authoritarian leader. Donald Trump is dangerous, and Joe Biden supports a constitutional democracy. Let's go quickly to the phone lines. Mary in Wauwatosa. Mary, thanks for listening. What say you?
Hi, Todd. As usual, I appreciate the spirit and the knowledge you bring to civic media, and I'm sure glad you came over to Democracy Side. I agree with previous caller, Jack, regarding media responsibility and covering all of this. And most important, I hope that the legislators who years ago had the opportunity to stop Trump in his tracks regarding impeachment are having extreme regret now with the fallout.
No, I totally agree. And this is why we have to be continually vigilant about this. So great call, Mary. Really appreciate it. Great calls, one and all. I want to end before, because do we have time for the Jon Stewart clip? Can we end with that? All right. So here's, we promised you we'd have it today. Here is Jon Stewart talking about patriotism and MAGAs. And we've had to edit this lightly for FCC violations. But here is Jon Stewart from The Daily Show from Monday.
As a dictator for 4 years, absolutely. This country needs a dictator. I hate to say that, but it's the truth.
By the way, stop it for a second. All right, so this is Stewart, a person on the street interviewing Trump supporters, what they're saying.
Yes, and then he has his commentary
right,
on it.
Here we go.
As a dictator for 4 years, absolutely. This country needs a dictator. I hate to say that, but it's the truth.
He could stand on the front steps of the White House and commit murder, and I'm with him.
If he says it, then I'll go with it. And if he wants to be a dictator, then so be it.
This is it. The Thomas Nast cartoon. Patriots festooned in American flags, co-signing dictatorship. Remember We the People? You know there's more words after that, right? Smaller font, still binding. Look, if you want to love Trump, love him. Go to the rallies. Buy the sneakers. You want to give him absolute power? You want him to be the leader uber alles? You want him to have the right of kings? You do you. But stop framing it as patriotism. Because the one thing you cannot say is that Donald Trump is following the tradition of the founders. He is advocating for complete and total presidential immunity. His words, not mine. That is monarchy. And it's your right to support it, but just do me a favor for historical accuracy. Next time you want to dress up at the rallies, wear the right f-ing colored coats.
And when he says that, of course, he shows an image of British soldiers wearing red.
The red coats. I thought Jon Stewart hit it out of the ballpark. He's absolutely right. And it speaks to some of our callers today. That Trumpism, MAGAism, it's not patriotic. It's not American. It's authoritarianism. It's dictatorship. It's monarchies. And I'm not talking about, you know, the stuff we have today, like you know, Prince or King Charles monarchy. We're talking about the old style King George monarchies. And that's what's on the line. It takes a large coalition to defeat authoritarianism, monarchies, and dictatorships. We welcome all who simply believe in democracy and freedom. Great show today. Thank you very much to Pat Kreitlow and Trigvi Olsen for being with us, Mr. Zomers, and of course, all your phone calls as well. Stay tuned now for Maggie Dawn. We'll see you tomorrow, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in. Do not give up. Keep banging your drum.
Keep banging on your drum, and they will hear you.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Tune in Wednesday for a special Devil's Advocates radio show. Dom in studio with me, Joe, Vegas Joe Sapecki, and Joe Biden in Milwaukee. Tune in 4 to 6 p.m. Devils.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
How to avoid this apocalyptic nightmare? It's to vote. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that will save our democracy is our democracy. America, make your voice heard. turn away from authoritarianism and vote this November.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Federal aviation investigators say Boeing is not providing key information in the probe of the blown-out door plug.